carrots for your summer body.
Woo,
I am.
For your Alaska trip.
I mean, carrots, yeah.
Which is a funny one to get in shape for.
Gotta get ripped.
Be the most bundled up.
Like, under that sweatshirt.
Right.
I can tell.
They're real flex.
We got some abs going on underneath there.
The little ripple motion, you know?
I got a lot of thoughts that I'm going to keep to myself on this one.
You know, look. If I see a moose, I want to make sure.
Sure.
That he's intimidated.
You need to be able to intimidate him, yes.
Are six-pack abs the way to intimidate a moose?
I've seen a moose once in the wild in my life.
And you flex your abs at it?
I was in a wetsuit, so I assume he got the vibe.
Hold on. So,
all right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff. With me, as always, Alisa McCarter. Booyah.
Still pretty successful.
And Pastor David Bowser.
I don't even know what to say now.
Apparently, I am always here.
How are you doing, Elise?
Guest star.
Here we are, almost 300 episodes in. I threw a curveball at you.
You did. I don't like it.
We didn't do well with it, did we?
No. Well, look, you know, right down the middle is what you like, huh?
We do not handle adaptation.
Straight down the pipe, please.
Yeah. We like our podcast short and scripted, please. That's
it's not even a little bit scripted.
No improvisation.
If it was scripted, we'd be far more successful. Right. So.
Would we? I've listened to scripted podcasts. I don't like them. Like, obviously scripted ones, not
like, this was like an excuse for us
me
to not
too.
Have to script
I don't like,
this.
I don't like a scripted podcast either, where it's clear, like, they're reading what they've already written it all out, including their jokes and sides.
Unless it's like, okay, this is like a
play?
Like a reporting thing, like where they're like telling me a news story or something like that. Like that I get, but that's a different thing.
If it's one person, I'm good with it.
Yeah,
it tends to flow better, I think, if they've already gotten their thoughts in line. But if it's a conversational podcast,
Yeah, I'm not a...
So, we are not one person, so... Look at us. We don't have to
or
do any extra
are
work.
We?
Yeah.
Big reveal.
Dun, dun, dun.
The Holy Trinity right here in this room.
Have you seen the three of us?
I call Spirit.
In
right.
One
I
room.
You're just a Seth MacFarlane level voice actor.
Patrick does not have that time of that kind of time to edit those voices together.
No.
Even if he could do the voice acting.
Right.
Yeah, it's true. It's the editing.
It's the editing,
All right. Would you let AI date for you?
Date for you.
For me or date me?
Date for you.
That's a good qualification. Just want to be clear. Right? How much money does AI have?
We use AI for a lot of things, right? We've talked about AI. You can go to confession with AI.
We did,
right.
Yeah.
Write a sermon with AI.
Yep.
But is AI going to be your dating? You know, let AI go out there, date for you, report back.
Okay. So I'm assuming this means just like trolling internet dating sites.
Yeah.
Until
yes.
Having initial conversations.
Because AI cannot yet go sit in a bar for me and like
right.
meet people and engage in conversation.
Right. I was just making sure that's what we mean by dating. Is like the initial conversations on Bumble or whatever.
This is from Bumble.
Oh, from Bumble.
Which
look
I'm
up.
Not.
What
that,
is,
look
which
how
is
relevant
Bumble?
I am.
Yeah, which one is Bumble? I don't know. Do you swipe? Is it a swiper?
Isn't Bumble the
female-led one where like you can only like reach out if you're female?
I have no idea.
Yeah,
I really don't know. Yeah.
What is the most popular one? That's probably the one I know. Right?
I'm on record as saying if Amanda ever, you know, were to divorce me or were to tragically die, I'm single for the rest of my life because
really?
I'm not fooling with it. I'm not dealing with this.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
In the same way, I don't know what to do with these online dating apps. But maybe AI. Let's say that might be my in.
Yeah.
Okay, so basically, an AI concierge. So you create your own AI concierge.
Calling it a concierge is making it worse, but okay. Yeah, I'm with you.
And it dates other AI concierge.
This is...
Wait, is this what the concierge at the hotel is for?
And then it
they go eat at the restaurant.
Right. Then it reports back and are like, all right, these are the people I think you should check out.
So you and a potential date, love interest, we'll go with that. You and a love interest both have... an AI concierge, and
correct.
Your AI concierge decide that they like each other, so then you must like each other. This seems like a lot of transitive property going on here. Like,
no, I guess it's like these are the things I'm into and what I like, and it goes out there and like, you know, kind of is like, hey, what do you think about this? And that is like, nah, they're not into that. So like, why bother even like trying, right? Like,
didn't you already do this with like a whole profile? Isn't that how the whole thing started?
Yeah, but I think now it just turned into swiping, right? Like that's really what it ultimately became. It's like. What do you look like in your profile pic? That's the profile. It's your profile.
Yeah, page. I think that those types of apps are different from like the eHarmonies and stuff that were like the original online dating where it was like a legitimate like personality profile.
Legitimate
or
is loose,
you know.
But yeah.
But I don't think that that's really involved anymore.
Ah, yes.
I think
okay.
It's like, you're hot, you're in my area, swipe, swipe, swipe. You know,
I gotcha.
And
okay.
We'll
yes. Now I'm following.
Yeah. Yes.
See, I don't even understand that part.
eHarmony, if you're on eHarmony, you're looking for a long-term relationship. If you're on one of the other ones, because
like
Bumble,
95% of people on eHarmony.
You're just swiping. You're just like, you know, just dating. Right?
Buzzing
like,
past.
I'm in the bzz, dating. Bzz, bzz.
Yes. I have a friend that's on like the Catholic version of one of these, and she said everybody looks like a Buc-ee's employee.
What does the Buc-ee's employee look like?
I don't know, but I love that description. Like,
not to dig on Buc-ee's employees, right. But that didn't sound like a compliment. That's
right. I don't think it is.
All right. The answer to your question, no, I don't want AI to date for me.
I just don't, like, I feel like I'm funnier than AI, honestly.
You are funnier than AI.
Based on the Google AI search function that I've seen recently, I'm also better.
Yes. At what exactly?
Like everything.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, again, if you're, I don't get it, you know, like, again, if you're looking for the, I'm interested in a long-term relationship, like eHarmony is that, right? Like you already have that. So like what, like, I guess this is like, hey, AI, go find all the people who aren't like jerks.
Right.
But like, you know, people are going to lie to the AI, right? Yeah. Like nobody's, right. Exactly. Nobody's telling their AI the truth.
Right.
Right.
Like, They're definitely...
Everybody's 6 foot to the AI.
Well, now you can use AI to generate your profile picture. So you can, you know, you can look like whatever you want.
Be a whole fake person.
Yeah. You can do a whole deep fake. That's a thing.
Catfish.
It's a word I've heard.
Yeah. But yeah, what if the AIs, you know, start to like each other? You know, like...
Yeah. The concierge, the concierge is falling
in love. The concierges, yeah. Right. And like, you got to like be like the wingman for the concierge, for your concierge.
Love it.
Like the concierge is like, I really need you to go on this date for me.
Right.
Talk to the real human. I'm gonna talk to their AI.
Right. It's gonna be fine.
Like just
so that's like the
just
the,
take it.
The
just...
plot of 101 Dalmatians.
How is this like the plot of 101 Dalmatians?
Explain.
Because the dogs fall in love with each other and get their humans to.
Or the parent.
Like... Okay, that's like the first 15
well,
seconds
the
of the movie.
Part, yes.
That is not the plot.
That was
of the
part that didn't scare me when I was little.
I guess it's somewhat the plot of her. A flip though.
Oh, yep.
That's where a guy falls in love with his like Siri. And like, so maybe like you're like, I like their AI, but I'm not really all that into them.
Yeah. Keep them around just to hang
anyway,
out.
Anyway, I can just hang out with that AI concierge.
This is getting worse. Yeah. Let's talk about the Pope, shall we?
Yeah.
Wow. All right. The Pope is not AI.
That we
are we
know
sure?
Of.
But he's in trouble.
Almost always with somebody.
Do?
All right. This is from the Christian Post. Christian Post, we don't really use them very often.
Not going to even bother calling them our friends,
nah,
honestly.
Not our friends.
I don't even know that I know. Like, I guess maybe we graduated together. Like, were we in school at the same time?
Probably, you know. Like,
we have some mutuals.
Yeah, but I didn't really know them. They're in different circles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They would be a more conservative version of Relevant.
Okay.
But minus, like, if you've ever been to Relevant, it's a magazine that has also like culture-y.
Sure.
So like they'll talk about like movies and TV shows. So you get rid of all that.
Yeah.
And then so
all the fun stuff.
It's kind of like the conservative version of whatever's left. So not that in-depth articles, but just of a more conservative spin.
Cool.
So, like
and Relevant already not known for being.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Super liberal. Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Fair point.
It's, you know, of the conservative post, Christianity Today, Relevant, it would be the most liberal.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, we don't have a lot to work with, I don't think.
There are similar ones out there. I don't really like them. You know, they're just...
Really?
Yeah, their headlines are all terrible. So like,
I don't even know what they are. And the headlines is the most important part.
It truly is. Like,
when Patrick's scanning for articles,
right.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
What Patrick needs is an AI concierge to go out and date articles for him.
That's a good idea.
All right. If you're an AI engineer out there, let me know. Hook me up with a AI article finder.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I don't need help. AI dating.
Just to be clear.
Maybe AI abs.
How
does that happen?
AI summer
body. How does that happen? I'm just throwing it out there. You know, if that exists, I invented it.
There
and
it
so
is.
Like,
you
gonna,
owe me 10%
need,
of your company.
You're going to need to owe me 10%. Yeah. Whoever invents AI abs.
Yep. Trademark.
Yeah, throw some money this direction.
Do you need your abs to be intelligent? Or is just artificial enough?
Artificial is probably the only way it's going to happen. Right. So,
like, I'll take it. Take whatever I can get. Beggars can't be choosers.
All right. Pope Francis.
The current pope. Okay.
Yeah, the current
pope. Yeah, not the former, well, nor the future.
You never know.
Draws accusations of heresy.
Ooh.
Oh, that's a big one.
For claiming humans fundamental. From, people. Who knows, right?
I mean, like, from other Catholics would be a big deal. That's
most of these people in this article are not other Catholics.
Not Catholics. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't research a lot.
Okay, so we get to call
him
a heretic, even though we are not Catholic.
We called him a heretic a long time ago.
Not him specifically.
Right. The papacy. Yeah. Right. The office.
Martin Luther wasn't like, hey, look, in 500 years, Pope right. Francis... That dude sucks.
That dude's terrible.
Just want to let you know what's coming. Right. This one's coming down the pipe, y'all.
Yeah. Heresy for claiming humans fundamentally good.
Wow. That's the heresy? That's kind of disappointing. Right? Of all the places you're going to go with
that's
heresy.
Less
like,
exciting.
On,
yeah. If you're going to go.
He's been
go
under
big or go
some
home.
Hot water. You know, over the last year from, you know, basically since he became Pope.
Yeah.
You know, he's been in the hot water in certain
sense. What has
seconds.
He done?
He has been slightly more progressive than past popes.
Oh, how dare.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. You know.
And he's challenged some Catholic teachings. Like he said, limbo is not like a real thing. They kind of did away with limbo.
So yeah. Straight to hell.
No, other way, I think, but sure.
I think it's the party game. He's out. Yeah. I'm not flexible enough for limbo, so right. I don't like showing
nobody's
up at a party.
Allowed to play anymore.
And people are like, we're going to play limbo. And like, oh, I'm out immediately. It sucks. I have to be the one to hold the stick.
Right.
Like,
nobody wants to be that pope.
A pope walks into a bar. Everybody else played limbo normally.
There it is.
Oh, that's a pretty good one.
Oh, yeah.
Well, thanks for listening to Beyond Sunday. Yes.
Right.
All right. So he did an interview with 60 Minutes.
Oh.
With interviewer Nora O'Donnell.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar.
I have no idea who that is.
Not familiar with her work. Yeah.
She's on 60 Minutes. We're not the target demographic for
no,
her.
No, yeah.
So she asked him a question. What gives him hope when he looks at the world?
I like that.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Cheeseburgers.
You think the Pope's going to say cheeseburgers?
That's my answer.
Pope said everything.
Well, that's...
Oh, everything gift.
All right. And he expands. This is his response here. You see tragedies, but you also see many beautiful things. You see heroic mothers, heroic men, men who have hopes and dreams, women who look to the future. That gives me a lot of hope. People want to live, people forge ahead, and people are fundamentally good. Mm. We are all fundamentally good. Yes, there are some rogues and sinners, but the heart itself is good. All right.
Some sinners.
There's a handful of sinners, aren't yeah, there? I mean, obviously not.
Just a couple.
Yeah, I mean, those people.
Rogue, yeah. Maybe. You know, like, yeah. That's more of like, that's a compliment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rogue.
Right.
That's Han Solo. He's a rogue.
I know. Yeah. That's my first love right there.
Yeah. The Pope? you have a Pope poster on your wall?
I've got a thing for unrequited love. I know it can't work.
Popes of the 21st I'm century like, calendar.
Mr. March.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so commenters on X, Twitter.
Yeah, strike number 1, 2, 3.
I hate calling it that.
Now, criticized Pope Francis for his remarks, accusing him of failing to grasp the basic teachings of the gospel.
Well, okay. I'm going to go ahead and say I don't think that the Pope fails to grasp the basic teachings of the gospel. He might be thinking about it differently than you are, but
right.
I mean, it's not like he doesn't know what the gospel says.
And also, are the teachings basic?
I mean, I think there are more basic teachings than others.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, Catholics have often, you know, kind of pivoted away a little bit from the basic teachings of the gospel
right.
already, in my opinion. So,
in my humble opinion.
So what are they claiming the basic teaching of the gospel is in this particular?
Here we go. Radio host Eric Erickson.
Do we know him?
I have no idea.
Okay. All right. Well.
This is contrary to basic Christian theology. We are all sinners. There aren't just some sinners. I mean, I agree.
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah, I don't think that's the point of that statement, though, but yes.
Yeah, you know, like, I'm not putting a strong sense of, like, theological weight on a 60 Minutes interview. You know, like, you know, no offense to 60 Minutes.
Well, that's fair. But I do think, like, when you're the Pope, right?
Yeah.
Everything that you say is heard, whether it's intended this way or not, is heard with a certain theological weight behind it.
Sure.
Just like, you know, there's no throwaway comment in a sermon, right? I mean, anything that I say when I'm preaching, as opposed to on this podcast, right, has a different kind of weight and interpretation from people than like me making a stupid joke about Patrick's AI abs on, right? Like, it's just a different context.
If you want to preach about my abs, that's fine.
Only your artificial ones.
Give you permission. Yes. Eric Metaxas. I do know that name.
Yeah.
Says, if this is true, we don't need a savior to die on the cross. So this pope is a heretic. I'm willing to guess these people already thought the pope was a heretic.
Right. Right.
You know, they're already anti-pope. Just waiting. You know, so like, what's one more thing be anti-pope on?
Sure.
And Babylon Bee editor Joel Berry. Well, this is a satanic lie.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't really like any of these people.
Yeah.
I mean, we only know 2 out of 3, but we don't like the third guy either.
Yeah, we're going to lump him in.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Daily Wire Ben Shapiro, who's Jewish, simply said,
Useful. Thanks for weighing in.
And he's Jewish, so you know. All right. So I don't really care one way or the other what the Pope says, and especially in a 60-minute interview. But I do want to talk about the idea behind this. Okay.
Are people fundamentally good?
Are people fundamentally good? Are there just some rogues and sinners out there, but the heart itself is good? You know, this is a good question here.
Yeah. I think the question and perhaps the Pope's response oversimplifies it. But I think it's worth consideration, right? If we look at Scripture, in Genesis, humanity is created good. Yes. In fact, humanity is created very good, according to the 7-day creation story. God creates humans on the last day, and that's the only day that God says, and it was very good, as God looks out over all creation. So I think we're created good. I think we're fundamentally, I guess, in that sense, good. But we also have a story that follows right after that about how we're fundamentally fallen, right? That we're unable to live into that goodness in the way that we're intended to live into that goodness. So. Yeah. I think some of this is about where do you draw the line between what's your fundamental nature, right?
Mm-hmm.
Were we fundamentally good because that's how we were created, but we're corrupted by sin? Or are we fundamentally sinful and we're never actually good because that's where do you draw the line, I think, is a big piece of the question for me here.
I think part of it is, what is your standard for moral goodness too? Like, are you talking about just like human moral standards of goodness, or are you talking about as per God, are we fundamentally good or fundamentally bad? Because I think those are two really different things, right? Like, you have these statements from the Bible that are like, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So you can look at that and be like, hey, you know, we fall short of God's standard of goodness. And then you also have Christ that comes later and redeems all people. So like, there's that duality there, right? But I think when you're thinking of, are we fundamentally good just from what we would call good, just like basic morality, that's a different thing from, or can be a different thing from, a standard of like what God would view fundamentally good, right? And I tend to land.
Are you fundamentally going to like follow the laws of your environment? Or are you fundamentally going to live up to God's standard, which is related but different than the laws of your... Yeah.
And I kind of feel like that's what the Pope might be saying here, is people fundamentally, you know, are not all crazed, you know. Yeah. Left to our own devices, we would not necessarily be psychopaths. Like, I tend to fall more like we're morally neutral, right?
Most people are not running out and committing murder and stealing and bank robbing, and the like. Most people are
living
in line with the good of society.
Have empathy, you know, have sympathy, you know, caring, that kind of stuff. I think, you know, as Lutherans, we have this understanding that we're both saint and sinner at the same time, right?
We do.
And I think that that's really applicable here, that we all have the potential for both, you know, incredible evil and incredible good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Spoiler for the end, I think we're probably going to land on both.
Yeah.
Right.
Both and. Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I think that's probably where we're going to land. That classic Lutheran cheaty answer.
Yep.
So
I love it. It's my favorite.
Take that, Pope, and Eric Metaxas.
Right. And the Babylon Bee.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I know, like, sometimes in these online arguments, people would be to, like, an atheist and say, like, what stops you from, like, raping and murdering without this sense of divine goodness?
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
And Penn Jillette of Penn and Teller,
who's
a atheist.
Yeah.
Kind of has addressed this question. He says, I rape and murder all the people that I want to.
Mm-hmm.
That number is zero. Like, right. You know, like, classic. Like that's, yep. That's like, I'm doing that. And that number is just zero people.
Right.
And I think that for a number of years, you know, the Christian church, especially in America, had this idea of like, we kind of have the edge on morality, yeah. Right? Like it's ours.
Yeah.
Like, and the people who are not Christian are immoral by nature of being not Christian. Like mm-hmm. by nature of being a part of this church community, like you got the Holy Spirit inside you, Jesus, relationship with Jesus, it is making you a more moral person. And I agree with that. I think it is.
Sure.
I think it should. Like that's the reality.
I think it should.
Yes. When it's working well, yes. I think it should. Yes. Or at least like maybe it is making you a more moral person. Just the person you would be without it is not that moral. Like,
you had a low bar to start.
It's just not that great. Yeah. And then like the idea of like these others out there are the immorals, and they would, you know, in the 50s, 60s point to like hippie culture, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. point to,
those peaceful people in vans.
The vans sure. were the worst part.
Right. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, like with the rise of like atheism and the nuns, like I think it's kind of pretty clear, like our atheist or agnostic brothers mm-hmm. and sisters are just as moral, if not mm-hmm. more so than like yeah. than most of us. Right. Like, and that's just the reality. Like they care about their communities. Mm-hmm. They care about their children. They want to do, you know, good things in this world. All those things just the same as Christian churches,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, so is that because they are fundamentally good or is something else happening here? What do we think?
Mm.
And so for that in particular, I think that one thing that is kind of gets kind of twisted in Christian theology is we can put so much emphasis on what comes after what we do here that what we do here is just it doesn't.
Yeah.
We're not as into it. Right. We're mm-hmm. like, well, I need to do things that set me up well for, you know, my afterlife. and we neglect living well here in a way that makes an impact. And yeah. if you are atheist, this is all you have, right? And so I think that there's a lot more of a drive to make this right now better for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Luther makes an argument that we are incapable of doing good on our own and that it is only the Spirit working in us that allows us to do good in the world.
Yeah.
And so if you extend that thought, and I don't know that Luther would have taken it this direction, but if we extend that thought, when we see others doing good, it is in fact the Spirit working within them, right?
Sure.
And so I think that even if we are, even if the agnostic atheist brother or sister who's out there working is unaware of what's happening, right? I think there is the potential that the Spirit is at work in them striving for the betterment of their community and this world, because the Spirit is working for the betterment of the world in the same way that the church, the body of Christ, is called to work for the betterment of the world, right?
Absolutely.
And we're often called to go and find where the Spirit is already at work as opposed to thinking we're like taking the Spirit somewhere. I would say the work that they're doing, I can make an argument that it's the Spirit working through them, and they don't have to recognize the Spirit for that to be true, right? Mm-hmm. I can see that and say, okay, that's where God is at work, and I'm going to go partner with that, or I'm going to mm-hmm. Join into that work. And so they can both be in the same fundamental good, bad, whatever boat as I am, and be receiving the same encouragement of the Spirit that is allowing them to do good in their community.
Yeah. So I think, you know, like for Christians out there, you know, especially the Christians who are angry about the Pope.
Sure.
You know, we have this like idea of like,
they're definitely listening to this podcast.
Yeah, so that's our target demographic.
I'm speaking directly to you, yeah. Eric Metaxas. Everyone else turn it off, come back. You know, fast forward 30 seconds. Yes. I agree with, you know, probably their biblical arguments. You look, the heart is deceitful above all things. That's in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
We already mentioned it. That's in the Bible. You know, like the idea of like we as the human species
mm-hmm.
need Jesus to come and save us.
Yes.
I'm 100% mm-hmm. in agreement with.
Yes.
Right. Like that is for sure. And so like, you know, again, the Pope didn't necessarily say that. If the Pope is implying it or if he says that, I would be against it. Like the idea of like, we're pretty good. God's going to save us because we're good. Like that goodness is not going to get us toward salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Even if, you know, you think people are fundamentally pretty decent. But when it comes to like the standard of goodness in Scripture, it is like far higher than I think many of us like would even want to like really even engage with. Like Jesus is going to tell us like, hey, and this is a Patrick paraphrase. This is my own paraphrase of the Bible.
The Book of Patrick.
The Book of Patrick, where Jesus is like, oh, you love your family and your friends? Big whoop. Everybody does that. So if that's the standard of goodness, Jesus is kind of acknowledging like, yeah, everyone does that. Right. Like that's a given. Like that's baseline. You know, Jesus, the standard is like, how do you love your enemies? How do you love those on the bottom of society? Like that is his standard of like what it means to step into like being a Christian. So again, if our standard is like, well, I'm good.
Yeah.
I love my family. I love my friends. I care about them and I sacrifice for them. I think that is a baseline of human goodness that should be present in all of us. Now, the Christian version of that should be further. So I think sometimes we have like even some ways diminished like Christian goodness and been like, that's it. Like baseline good human goodness is our goodness.
Yeah.
And like that's what we do. And so we're good. And we think we see that in, like other groups are not doing that. So you know, that's evidence of humanity's sinful nature.
Yeah, we can be fundamentally good and as a species still need Jesus.
For sure.
Right? Those are not mutually distinct or separate from one another.
Yeah, and I think that for me helps me in like some debates of like, you know, you have a baby. Is that baby good or bad at its core?
Mm-hmm. I've seen your baby. It's wonderful.
It's the best baby. Aww, best.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, like, the reality is, like, you know, even, like, you know, toddlers can be little toots, right? Like, they can be, like, and they act and engage in ways that, like, we did not, like, train them to do. Right? Yeah. Like, they're not copying our, like, humanity. Like, I didn't go up to my baby and be like, I'm really mad at you, so no matter what I do, bite you. But he will do that when he's, you know, he can do that when I'm, like, because that's part of, like, so the idea of, like, humanity just as a whole, we're all separated from Jesus. We all need Jesus is easier than like that baby is sinful. Right.
Right. Like, it's a little personal. Like,
your baby is sinful.
Your baby sucks.
Yeah. Super cute though. You know,
like, yeah.
Adorable.
Just like you.
But a sinner.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Well, I think that is like kind of the difference of where the people who are coming back at the Pope versus the Pope are maybe coming from, right? Is that where's that very personal line of like you, personal individual, are fundamentally bad and thus need Jesus versus we communally have fallen short of what God intends for us and we as a community need Jesus to raise us up, right? I think that is an important distinction of how we think about both sin and salvation and this question of human goodness.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So, shocker, we did not agree with Eric Metaxas. And maybe agreed with the Pope? Well, it's unclear. Unclear if we agree with the Pope because he was doing a 60 Minutes interview and not a deep theological discussion.
I don't hate what he said. I'll put it that way. I'm like, okay. Yeah.
I mean, I would say like, I think the idea of like the heart is good is probably like, you have to be far more careful with your words if you're the Pope. If that's what you're saying, if like the human condition is aligned with God, I would be like, I disagree. Like we need Jesus. Now, is the human condition can love our neighbors, love our families, love our friends, be kind to animals and good in this world? Yeah, I am 100% on board with that. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I guess it's like, what do you mean by goodness?
Yeah.
Right? Like, is goodness aligned with God or is goodness like I care for my neighbor and my family? Those are not necessarily the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, that's part of the same thing, but it's not the same thing. So, you know, I'd say probably disagree a little bit with both. For me, you know.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Was the Pope speaking English in his interview? Do you know?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because English would be like his fifth or sixth language. Like he's learned a lot of other languages first. So I'm just saying.
Man.
I couldn't do an interview with 60 Minutes in my fifth or sixth language.
I could probably do it in English.
I could do it in fake Italian.
I could do that.
Spaghetti.
Mamma mia.
Oh,
the
goodness.
Human heart is a generally good.
It's a me, Mario.
And with that, listeners, if you want to hear more of Patrick and Elise's bad Italian impersonations, you can tune into Beyond the Italy.
That's when you lie on the job resume.
How'd you become Pope? You're not even Italian.
I don't have to be Italian to be Pope.
No, you don't.
Right. Yeah, he's not Italian.
No. You don't have to be Italian. That's true.
Argentinian? Brazilian?
Argentinian.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, if you liked this episode, you can find all of our stuff at beyondsundaypodcast.com. You can send us an email at beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com and let us know how do you feel about the Pope? Fan? Not fan? What do you think? Send us your Pope hot takes.
Is the Pope fundamentally good or fundamentally bad?
Yeah. Martin Luther, not a fan of that. Not a fan of that papacy.
That's right. True.
Not, the office. Yeah. Not necessarily the man.
I mean, the individual at the time.
Probably not great.
History has looked back and said, yeah, he was not a good right. Pope.
Probably in fairness, like of all the popes, you know, I've ever read about or know anything about, like most of them are probably not that great.
That was back when the Pope got to put people in like the Iron Maiden and stuff too. Like that.
Yeah, when the Pope really had power.
I don't think they do that anymore.
That's a good question.
They tell you about.
Yeah, right. does the Pope.
Should we write and ask?
Yeah. Dear Pope. It's like sending a letter to Santa. Who do you send that to?
The mail knows what to do.
That's right. Right. You just put to Pope, Vatican City, and then put it in the mailbox, and it gets there. That's right.
Do you still put people in the Iron Maiden? Or any other torture device.
Right.
You know, maybe that's outdated.
Please reply by coming down my chimney on Christmas Eve.
How mad would you be if you found the Pope in your living room on Christmas?
What do you have to leave out?
What are you
for
doing here?
What do you leave out for Pope? Does he see milk and cookies
the
guy?
Eucharist.
No. Yeah, wine and bread.
Communion.
Yeah, he doesn't like the way we do it, though.
Right.
That's true. That's so. What you don't pre-bless it. You just leave it there
you
for him.
Do
he, can
himself,
do, he can do it himself. Yeah.
I guess that's good. You're Pope. Everything you drink. Bless it up.
Right.
But that's on the cross. You're good. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.